Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna, and we'll begin today with the heat, because it's hot. Like, really, really hot. We're in the middle of an excessive heat warning from the National Weather Service. Heat index 107. Of course, in this glass cage of a studio here at WBUR, the AC is cranked, as it is throughout our building, and office buildings across New England. Because with oppressive heat and humidity like we have today, comes what we're calling the workplace thermostat wars. And we want to invite you in on this conversation, listeners. Are you comfortable at work, or do you find yourself shivering at your desk despite the 100-plus degree temperature heat outside? Do you have to bring a sweater to work to stay comfortable, or is your office just right? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Is this a fight that you're fighting at home? Give us a call or send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. We're going to take your calls in just a couple of minutes, but first I want to turn to WBUR reporter Quincy Walters. He's on Boston Common, and he's been talking to folks who are working outside today. Quincy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
So it's really hot. It's summer. We know that. But what are people saying out there?
People out here are saying just as much. If you look out on the common today, you'll see people under shade, under trees, under umbrellas, and they're kind of hunkered down there and not moving. Yeah, people are saying it's really hot.
Right. So we've got this excessive heat warning in place for the entirety of the eastern part of the state, minus the Cape and the Islands, and that also is including Springfield. The rest of the state is under a heat advisory. What are cities and towns doing to help?
Right. So swimming at city pools is free of charge. Cooling centers are open at all 28 of Boston Centers for Youth and Families facilities. Springfield has 11 cooling centers. Worcester has 2 spray parks. Over 20 Massachusetts school districts are closed or have early dismissal due to the heat.
So basically, stay out of the heat. And in terms of folks working outside today, I imagine construction workers or other people who are out there in the heat, what are you hearing from them?
So that's interesting. When I first went on this heat adventure, I went to a few construction sites downtown, and surprisingly, they were deserted. I came to Boston Common to see if I could interview people. I did happen across a group of construction workers on their lunch break, and Kevin Roche is a construction worker, and he says you kind of just have to push through the heat.
You just got to power through. You think about that shower at the end of the day, and that's what it's about, in that bed.
Well, yeah, we're all thinking about the end of the day, I'm sure. Did you find anyone else out there who was braving the heat?
Yes, I did. I spoke to Carmen Gutierrez, who was working at a slushy stand just outside the Tees Park Street station, and she says surprisingly she hasn't had too many customers today.
Not really.
And why do you think that is?
Probably too hot to walk around.
And are you staying cool, or?
I'm working on my tan.
So she's working on her tan, but not exactly good for business. Of course, all joking aside, Quincy, you know, the heat and the sun today in particular can be dangerous for certain folks. And so I'm curious about safety precautions. Did you hear any advice on staying safe in this extreme heat?
Yeah, so this morning I spoke with Jim Hooley with Boston EMS, and, you know, he says, of course, the people most at risk are young kids and the elderly, but he says also if you work outside, don't underestimate the heat. He says hydrate and ask for more breaks if you can.
And finally, Quincy, this isn't a long-term trend here, right? We're expecting it to cool down?
Right, so there's a cold front expected for tomorrow, and the temperatures are supposed to dip. Looking at the forecast this week, it looks like tomorrow will be in the upper 80s, and then after that, it will be in the 70s. The right temperature to get that pumpkin spice latte.
Ugh, too soon, too soon. Okay, WBUR's Quincy Walters joining us from the Boston Common. Quincy, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So, despite the heat outside, I'm sure if you took a snapshot of workplaces across the region, you'd undoubtedly find a number of workers at their desks, maybe in sweaters, shivering from that cool air blowing from the air conditioning. But this isn't just a hypothetical. The conversation about workplace temperatures has become a real issue in the New York race for governor, where actress Cynthia Nixon is challenging incumbent governor Andrew Cuomo in the Democratic primary. Now, Nixon fired the first shot in the thermostat wars yesterday when her campaign requested the hall for their debate tonight be set to 76 degrees. Governor Cuomo, according to reports, has a preference for colder temperatures, with one former lawmaker saying he prefers it set to, quote, meat locker. Nixon's campaign says lower indoor temperatures are notoriously sexist. And of course, Twitter has become a battleground for people fighting over what's being called the thermostat patriarchy. So for more on this, we're joined by Sue Schellenberger. She's a senior writer and work and family columnist at The Wall Street Journal. She joins me on the line from Chicago. Sue, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you, Jamie.
Also with us on the line from Ithaca is Alan Hedge. He's a professor of ergonomics at Cornell University. Professor Hedge, thanks for being here as well.
Nice to be with you, Jamie.
Thank you. And I also want to remind our listeners, we want to hear from you on this. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I know it's hot. I know it's summer. But is your workplace too hot or is it too cold? And do you think men have too much influence over the thermostat? Is 76 degrees reasonable or too warm for a debate or a house or a bedroom? You can call us again at 1-800-423-8255. Sue, I want to start with you because you wrote about this issue a while back in a piece called Let the Office Thermostat Wars Begin, and you talked to a lot of people about that. What did they tell you?
It's a battle in many, many workplaces. Every summer typically brings the commuters who come in all stripped down to stay cool for their commute, and then the air conditioning is all cranked up and they have to put on sweaters and mittens. Some people like it hot, as we see in the debate. Some people like it cold. It does tend to split along gender lines. And people are constantly trying to adjust the thermostat in secret or tamper with it or persuade the building superintendent to turn the heat down or up or whatever would suit their own metabolism. It is a real problem.
And Professor Hedge, you've done a lot of research on this issue. Does Cynthia Nixon have a point about office temperatures being sexist?
Well, she has a point that men and women have different preferences. Whether it's deliberately sexist or not, or whether it's just accidental, I think is debatable. But there's no question that in most buildings, you know, the buildings are too cool for the occupants, particularly for the women occupants.
Sue, in your reporting, did you find that this is a distinctly American issue? I know this is something, at least in my family, I have relatives who live overseas, and when they come and visit the U.S., they are surprised by how cool everywhere is, not just offices, but department stores and other restaurants. Everything is chilled.
I think there's truth in that. I'm not quite sure why we chill our buildings down so low. It's a good question. But, yeah, I think in Europe the prevailing temperatures are usually a little higher. I think essentially, though, it's, you know, 3 out of 5 people are dissatisfied at some point with their workplace temperatures, according to some studies I've seen.
And in your reporting, you talked about dummy thermostats that, you know, building managers might put up. Can you tell me about those?
Well, as you can imagine, building managers are hard-pressed to figure out how to resolve this. If, you know, one person wants it 78 and the next person, as the governor does, likes it at meat locker, what are you going to do? Some superintendents admit that they have installed dummy thermostats, which make people think that they're actually adjusting the temperature, but they're having no impact whatsoever. And when I ask, well, what's the point? They said, well, people feel they have a little control and they feel better. Another thing that happens is that they field a lot of complaints. They put in apps or phone lines to field complaints about the temperature. And just having a chance to register the temperature complaint makes people feel a little better about it, even if the temperature doesn't change.
Professor Hedge, is there an ideal temperature for maybe an office to be at in terms of productivity? Or does it depend on sort of a lot of factors and different
it
people?
It actually depends on a lot of factors.
Yeah.
The fact is that if you have men and women who are naked, they're going to like a temperature around 78 Fahrenheit. That's what the research shows.
But I'd imagine most offices are not that scenario.
That really doesn't happen very much indoors, right? So one of your challenges is that men and women dress differently. There's usually more skin exposed to the air with women. They're not often wearing pants. You know, they're not often wearing socks or sneakers. They're not often wearing a jacket or a tie or long sleeve shirts. So clothing policy is really important here. You can dramatically change people's reactions to the environment by doing that. The Japanese have done this, by the way, very effectively. They have a program called Cool Biz. They set the summer temperatures to 83 Fahrenheit. And then they tell people you can wear shorts, T-shirts, you know, sandals, whatever you want. And that works perfectly well, saves a ton of money, and you don't get a lot of complaints about that problem. The problem here is, so one is clothing. Two is activity. That is, the more that you're stationary and sedentary, the less you're generating metabolic body heat. And then the third is, there is a difference. Men have, on average, more muscle mass. That generates more heat. They tend to have slightly better peripheral circulation to the hands and feet, so they don't experience cold hands and feet quite so much. And also, because they're usually wearing a shirt and a tie, they don't have as much neck exposed, and the neck is particularly sensitive to cold air drafts coming down from air conditioning systems. So all in all, it sort of is stacked against a woman, unless you control for all of these factors. If you're in, say, the military, you can do that. Everybody wears the same kind of uniform. But in most workplaces, that doesn't happen.
What about this idea, though, that, you know, okay, so we've taken into account that maybe more men in offices are wearing suits and ties and clothing that's warmer. What about this idea that layering up is okay, that you can just put more clothing on, but it's a lot harder to have less clothing, say?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that men should wear less clothing. Ditch the tie, right? I mean, they do this pretty successfully in places like California. Just taking a tie off and opening the shirt is going to let you deal with a temperature that's at least 2 degrees higher for the same level of thermal comfort. So ditch that. Wear lighter clothing, not heavier clothing. One of the reactions in Japan to the 83 degrees is they've developed very lightweight suits that add very little insulation to the body. And so they can still wear a suit, but they can be in a temperature of 83. So men have something to do. The idea of layering up is, okay, you see that. You go into offices, you'll see people with scarves around their necks. You'll see them, you know, with blankets and shawls on. You'll see them sometimes wearing gloves with the fingers cut out. The problem is that doesn't really help the sort of the extremities, the hands and the feet. It's hard to layer those up in a truly useful way. So there is research being done on foot warmers. You know, there are things out there that you can put your feet on that keep your feet warm, and that helps your
something
overall.
That you plug in.
So you plug in, yeah, it helps your overall comfort as well. A lot of people take personal heaters into the workplace in the summertime, so now you're adding to the energy cost by heating the air up and then having to cool it down. And the building's already using, you know, I mean, buildings use about a third of all of our energy
right
here in the U.S. So it's a big waste of money, and just changing the thermostat is going to help a lot of people. You can go up to 76, like Cynthia says, without that causing any catastrophic effect on men at work. I'm in my office, which is not at the moment being really air-conditioned. The temperature here is 79. But, you know, I'm wearing jeans and I'm wearing a short-sleeve shirt, and it's perfectly comfortable. But so
Professor
you don't
Hedge,
have to be down at 72.
If I may, you mentioned energy usage, and I want to take a caller here. It's Alan calling from Winchester. Alan, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Share your thoughts on this.
I'm just listening to your discussion about adjusting clothing and lighter clothing, which is a great idea, and also talking about waste of money being excessively cooled. But there's another sort of health and money issue, and that is that when there's peak demand for electricity, as we have now, and officially between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. today, which is where we are now, it's record high consumption expected. And what they have to do for that is turn on dirty power generation, oil-powered generators and others, to generate the extra electricity needed. And that's actually bad for the environment. It's bad for our health. So, you know, if we have the thermostat up a little higher, it's better for our our health and environment, as well as the other issues you've been discussing.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you putting that on the table. And Sue, I want to turn back to you with that. I mean, the point that Alan in Winchester is making is that this extra AC that we're cranking all the time is also impacting our climate.
Well, it is, and I think that's one of the directions builders are going now with smart buildings. Many of the employers I interviewed were beginning to look at apps that can vary, you know, the temperature. If someone is particularly bothered by a 78-degree temperature, they can isolate that area and give it a little blast of air conditioning so that it's not chilling the whole thing down to these low temperatures. I think the smart buildings and recirculating air hold great promise for cutting down on our energy usage.
So maybe that's one possible solution. Alan Hedge, ergonomics professor at Cornell University, are there any other solutions to this temperature war?
Sure, there are lots of things that you can do. I mean, a fan is actually quite effective at cooling you down, and it doesn't necessarily need a lot of energy if it's mounted on your desk, right? There are personal cooling systems. If you mist the air, add some water to the air, that's going to evaporate heat away from the body, and that's going to cool you down as well. So, you know, there are things you can locally do. Stay out of the sun. Don't get too close to a window if the sun is streaming through the window. That's radiant heat gain from the sun. You know, animals do this. Lions don't sort of lay out in the middle of the grasslands there when it's sunny. They get under trees for the shade, even though the air temperature is exactly the same. So, you know, there are things that you can do. Get up and move around periodically. Drink plenty of drinks. Expose as much skin to the air as you can if you are too hot. And if you're too cold, then you need to get up, move around to generate heat and cover up as much as you can. So there are lots of sort of things that you can do. But as people have said, the fundamental problem is we don't design buildings well. If you think of cars, of a car, say, you know, 10 years ago, you get in the car, everybody had the same climate in the car. Now you get in, the driver can set their temperature,
the passenger,
on the back seats. That's what we're trying to work towards in buildings, where everybody can actually select the kind of environment that works for them at that time. Because what you want in the winter is not the same as what you want in the summer. So it's really important to sort of rethink office spaces in that way.
Well, that's Alan Hedge. He's a professor of ergonomics at Cornell University. Professor Hedge, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Also on the line is Sue Schellenbarger. She's a senior writer and the work and family columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Sue, thank you as well.
It's been a pleasure, Jamie.
Thanks. We'll be back after a short break. I'm Jamie Bologna, and you're listening to WBUR's Radio Boston.